And then we're going to rape her.
I'm not going to be in the room.
You're going to film it.
Yeah, you're running the camera.
So long as I don't have to look through the viewfinder.
No. Dan, I'll put it in her ass if that's okay. From behind in the dark, everybody's gay.
That's exactly right. Hello and welcome to the award-winning Arden Cadence, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host, Heather Henderson.
Hey, everybody.
You know Heather. You know Heather from the Facebook, on the YouTube, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, and free write a review, help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now if you're not a big fag.
Whoa, 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 that's not nice.
Subscribe now if you're not a big hetero.
Doesn't sound very nice either.
Just subscribe now, no matter who turns you on.
That's nice.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you gay-bashing closet case. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Tom Stade.
Well, hello, everybody. All right. I'm the heterosexual.
Kira Sultanovich, who is running late and will be here soon, and also joining the show, believe it or not, fan of the show, Dan Glenn is with us. Thank you so much. You know these guys, folks, ladies, from showbiz. Yeah, by the way, if you're watching on camera, you'll notice that sitting next to Tom is his son, Mason. Thanks for joining us also, Mason. We didn't give Mason a microphone.
Because he's not old enough yet.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. Because he doesn't know anything about sexuality.
He's only horny all the time.
And he's sticking with that story as far as his dad is concerned.
Yeah, well, at 18, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd find a nice, quiet place where I can learn about myself a little bit more.
Exactly. You know, we have a bathroom back there if you'd like to. Yeah, help yourself.
I'll see you guys.
Wherever you want.
I'm 42, still trying
right
to find.
Jack off right there,
Mason. We don't mind. All right.
Remember, this is uncensored.
It is uncensored. Let me tell you, I have been saying for a long time on my show that we should not be arguing gay rights from any perspective other than freedoms. And I always caveat that with sexuality, in my opinion, is not only genetic. I say it all the time, and I know it's rubbed Dan the wrong way many times. He's been here, he emailed me, he tweeted me, and then we talked on the phone.
Can you explain that to me, by the way, before we go on?
Oh, I'm going to explain it.
I want to catch up, man.
I'm going to explain it in detail.
Okay.
Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, I have said many times that sexuality can indeed be a choice. And I always word it carefully in that way, but I know now that some are not hearing it the way I'm trying to communicate it.
Someone sitting across from you?
A man sitting across from me. Dan, it struck you as, what the fuck are you talking about, asshole, right?
But, sorry, Dan.
Yeah, it's more like Chevy Chase. It's like, Emery, you ignorant slut. What the fuck?
That would be accurate. That's accurate on every word you use there. it describes me perfectly. I am ignorant of some things, and I also make mistakes when communicating. That's why I was really excited to invite you. And I know you took the whole day off just to be here. You're a working stiff. You work 9 to 5 like all of us.
Actually, I work 10-hour, 4 tens, but yes.
Wow. Yeah. They are raping you, man.
Well, we get four Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah,
sadly,
so four
tens. Doing the show on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How very European of you.
That I know.
Is
how
so
nice.
French, that's man. That is so French.
Yeah.
They are really
I wish we were more Spanish and took the afternoon off.
Siesta. Siesta in the middle of the day. Most people actually do, even though they're not
exactly.
Allowed.
So, Emery, when you say it's a choice, like, are you saying that that if, you know, it is a choice? If I feel like I want to suck a dick or something like that, I could go and do that completely. But what you're saying is it's not a choice, Dan? Like, it's the only thing you can do?
I think we agree on a certain level.
Mm-hmm. Where do we disagree? Let's go right to the heart of it. Where is that point of, where's the sticking point of what I say for you, Dan?
I think we need to define some words first.
Uh-huh.
we need to have a discussion in this country, if anything, about the difference between sexual orientation, sexual identity, and sexual expression.
Well, the good news is we are in this country, so let's do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. No, but I mean on a national
let's
level.
Let's go to Russia, everybody, really have a talk.
They really need to talk about it.
Or they'll kill us for having this conversation.
I think your sexual orientation is fixed, and I think it's fixed in utero when you're in the process of being developed inside the womb. I think that sexual identity and sexual expression are very cultural influenced, and depending on how restrictive or how free your culture is will determine on how well you identify as being what your orientation is, and then expressing that.
The only way I can agree with that idea is if we were to agree that that fixed thing that you're talking about,
right,
can be expressed in dramatically different ways in different cultures. And I have proof for that, because it happens that way. When you find, when you look at older cultures, when you look at some cultures, sexual identity, sexual orientation is a bit more fluid than we in the United States treat it.
That's what I was going to say, actually, though, is how can you say it's fixed when it's totally fluid?
Because I think we have in this country an idea that you're either gay or straight.
Well, I think you're right, there is a false binary. But I think that rather than saying it's fixed, you're either gay, straight, or bi, and that's it. I think that for me, at least, I don't think that's accurate. I think it's a spectrum, and you land either more gay, more straight, more
exactly,
in the middle.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. If you are gay and you try to conform to the norm of being a heterosexual, you run into this conflict that is internal. And if it were not true, then you would not see people, despite their culture, going against the grain of their culture because of who they are and paying the price.
What people are saying and how they are discriminating against them more so than...
I would like to know when... I think a big thing here is, like, when... at what point in time... Because there was this probably a certain point in time where nobody really gave a shit. And then all of a sudden, they started giving a shit to create this problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
8th century.
It was the 8th century we're dealing with?
Yeah, started in the 8th century.
And is that when they started persecuting people for being gay and all that sort of stuff? And it's been carried on for... Well, what are we, 13 centuries we're dealing with this
problem? And was it religion that started that? Yes,
yeah. Very much so.
So yay, glad religion!
Glad I didn't join up for those guys.
Roger that. Let me first of all also say that sitting in Kira's chair...
I'm sorry, doing what?
Sitting in Kira's chair, we're trying to teach me to stop saying setting instead of sitting.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's going to take. So in fact, so I think the predisposition or the orientation of how someone's going to pronounce sit... is probably established when they are born in Kansas.
Yes, absolutely.
And then again, it's cultural.
It is cultural. I want to say that Amanda McAlpin is joining the show for at least a little while and may be popping in and out. Also invited to join us anytime he wants. Grab Dad's mic if you'd like to say anything.
Grab Dad's mic, huh?
Uh-huh.
I'd love to hear a teenager's view on all this shit. Because, I mean, at 18, we're all just a bunch of idiots talking about shit that nobody gives a fuck about. When you're 18, you could... give a flying fuck about anything, and that's the freedom that you're fucking trying to talk about. You're the freedom of who gives a fuck.
Yeah,
and that is a real. You only have that when you're young. And this is what you're saying is all of a sudden over time the pressures of whatever religion, cultural boundaries, all of a sudden start giving you opinions that this is wrong or this is right. But if you asked Mason. You know, he would pretty much show you what freedom really is, because he would just sit there and go, who gives a fuck?
But isn't it the illusion of freedom? Because, like, I wasn't 18 that long ago, and all of us knew where we landed on the, if we were gay or straight or whatever.
That's not everyone, though.
No, absolutely. I most of us. But my point is more, like, I would argue that people are more comfortable to explore a little bit older than 18 or whatever. Because
I don't
think
so. I'm in agreement with Dan, actually, on that.
I'm 52, and when you got to remember, when I was 12, it was still a mental illness.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not saying
it was treatable by chemical castration, electric shock, not just to the head, but on your testicles.
Yeah.
Well, that can be hot.
Castration.
Yeah. I'm turned on, personally.
I played with a TENS unit, and I've
got a friend
fucking,
in
I've
Palm
had a negative
Springs
and a positive
who
up my
went
ass.
Through that therapy,
oh, really?
And he's dysfunctional.
Really?
Mm. He's gay, and he cannot perform because that loop has been broken.
Sure.
Wow.
And
but that's not what I'm wow. saying. So
and lobotomies. Let's not forget lobotomies.
No,
son, I was thinking about sending you to one of them schools.
So what you're saying is the science worked.
Yeah, but he's still gay.
Yeah, no, right.
He's not functioning gay, gay.
But that's a marker of the times, of where the culture was
exactly.
at the time. That's not a marker of where 18-year-olds are.
Correct. And I think that if you look at the polls, people over 65 and older are very much still against gay rights and that sort of thing. And then his generation, my nephew's generations, the younger ones, they could give a rat's ass for
Right. But that wasn't the point I was making. Actually, I want to be very clear that was not the point I was making. The point I was making is as you age and as you learn more about yourself, you become more comfortable to kind of explore and to see what you want to try.
As you grow older, you get lumped into groups. As you grow older, because you need the companionship, you need a job, you start gravitating towards those people that help making your life more comfortable. And with that, there seems to be a trade-off of how you think.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
So that is probably one of the bigger problems as you grow older, you have to sacrifice some ideas to gain some comfort, you know?
Well, but,
I think the idea is to change the whole group thinking. And sorry, Danny.
Oh. No, that's okay. I think it's much easier as you're older in your 20s and 25s.
Yeah, that's
to
what
come
I mean.
Out,
I don't mean
because
like
if you're dependent
later.
Upon your parents for your income or your livelihood or your mm-hmm. your safety, you're not going to come out if they're very religious.
Right.
We have in this country an epidemic of homeless youth that are living on the street for the sole reason that their parents have kicked them out because they will not say, "I'm straight."
Wow, man.
And you have somebody sitting in front of you who was kicked out of the military after 15 years
right.
with a solid good record because I said three words.
Well, they'll let you
I
back in
gay.
Now.
Well,
right.
let
yeah,
you back
that.
In now.
Let's
but who
yeah,
wants
right?
to join the
yeah.
army? Anyway?
Well, I did.
I mean, I'm okay
I really
with your,
wanted to.
I'm okay with your gayness.
I'm
but
convinced
joining the army really pisses
that's
me
the
off.
Problem.
Okay.
I'm convinced you're pretending to be gay just so you could get out of the army now. I'm not
no,
even sure you're
no,
gay.
No.
You're just really playing it to the hilt, right?
So did you have a problem? Well, I mean, did they kick you out?
I
want to
know
they
the story
you?
About being in the Army. What year are we talking about? Let's hear the story. I didn't know this. This is
Let's
cool.
Can I back up all the way to the beginning?
Sure.
Back it up,
yeah,
baby.
Man.
I realized I was gay when I was 4.
Okay.
I accepted the Lord Jesus
wow.
Christ when I was 5.
You were
a Christian?
4 years old.
Huh?
Dan, you said you were nervous about being on this show. You were fucking cut for this show, my friend, and you're doing a great job.
That's
so
why I spoke out.
Talk.
I feel I have something to say.
You have a lot to say.
I thank you for giving me the platform. I'm not doing this for any kind of money or celebrity, and please don't. You know, if you have something to say, if you want to put out my Twitter, I'll ignore it, I guess.
Welcome to my world, Dan.
Well,
I have to ignore a lot of them.
But so
I actually have not publicized your Twitter for the very reason that I know you don't need the kind of shit that someone might throw at you. So
yes.
You came on this show as a favor to me, and we're
honey, I've had shit thrown at me my entire life. I can take care of myself.
All
I
right.
can read you to the street.
Then tell them
and I can whoop your ass, too, because I've been in the military. I can kick your ass.
You're reading me to the curb right now.
How did you know you were?
Give out your Twitter address if you want people to interact with
you. At 4.
It's at G as in my last name, Glenn. Danny Boy, G Danny Boy.
There you go.
Nice.
So okay. that you can reach Dan Glenn there. You were asking Dan a question.
Yeah, at 4 years old, I didn't even know what sex was, let alone my own sexuality.
Right. Which
was
hard because I didn't have any words to describe what I was feeling and what I was thinking.
When you were skipping rope down the road?
Oh, I was a very fairy carry
I'm sorry.
Queen. I was.
I've seen kids that I'm like. If that kid doesn't grow up to be gay, I don't know what to
do. Exactly.
But it's true, and they
used to think that you were gay because your father, you had a distant father and an overprotective
mm-hmm.
mother. I think it's the reverse. My father pulled away from me because I was queer.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother overprotected me because she saw that.
I see.
And
that's an interesting way of seeing the dynamic.
And I think, you know, there haven't been a lot of studies of that, but that has been proposed. So anyway, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 5 because I knew there was something intrinsically wrong by the way that people were behaving
around
me and treating me and telling me not to be. They actually used queer. And I can remember
How
my
old?
Father saying me, certainly when I was, my memory is much clearer at 6, 7, and 8.
Uh-huh.
So certainly during that time, I can remember my father saying, "I ain't raising no goddamn faggot," or something similar.
I'm sorry, son.
I know that they went to talk to a psychologist and they put me in the Boy Scouts so that I could have more masculinity in my life.
Wow. Did you stay living with your parents the whole time?
I did.
Well, I want to point out that as much as your dad may have said that, he ended up raising a goddamn faggot.
Yeah, yeah. He did.
Sorry, Dad.
He did. And my father and I are as close as we possibly can be. I talk to him every week. He lives in Arizona.
Now.
But there is always this divide because my father's generation thinks a gay as... They go straight to what I do.
Yeah.
Not who I am.
Right.
And that's just a part of my life.
Does that come with age, you think?
I think it comes with his generation.
Yes. Sure.
I think it comes with his generation.
Well, he has to accept it or he's going to lose the love of his child, man.
And as a parent,
that's the most thing you want. It's the biggest
thing you want.
You want your kids to love you.
Right.
Are you kidding me? So for him to jeopardize it and all the mistakes he probably made as a parent, he probably had that same social pressure that we were just talking about before.
When I was born, nobody came to knocking on the door saying, "Here's your handbook on how to raise a happy, healthy gay son."
No, of course not.
Nobody said that to him, and he was at loss.
You had to get that on Amazon, I think. That's where you'd get it.
I think so.
I read the book. Oh. It didn't really help me.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Just go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary, R as in repressed, O as in, oh, just go to gumroad.com/Emery and buy the stupid thing.
A recent incomplete study shows that studying can lead to not wanting to study.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Tom Stade, eventually Kara Sultanovich, and Dan Glenn.
Where is she?
We need more boobs
in the house.
I know, right? She told me she would be here at 8. I said, I want to book you anyway. Get here when you can.
She's exploring her sexuality right now, probably.
She's in the car diddling.
Sitting there.
She's a...
Wow, I don't know what I like. That would be a great place to be in.
That's exactly right. She's a married hetero with a wonderful baby. She's got a kid that looks like a 40-year-old man. He's just always...
All wrinkles?
No. He's just always constantly thinking. He's just like, he'll be looking at his food, and it looks like he's contemplating.
He's pooping.
Yeah, that's what that means.
It's not it. I don't think that's it.
Emery, have a kid before you start talking about this shit.
I have one coming tomorrow.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Oh,
I have a full-grown adult is what I have.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So, Dan? No worries. No. Your humor does not always hit.
It never really does. Right? That's the thing about humor. It's very subjective.
The viewers and the listeners may not realize this. Tom Stade is a Londoner. You grew up in London? Is that right?
Well, what I am is I'm a transit man. I'm like...
I think he was going to say transsexual.
Yeah, I wish.
Wow, Dan, take off the sandals.
You know where his mind is.
I spent most of my life in Canada. For the past 11, 12 years, I've been in the UK. And
so you're pretty much
there.
A Brit comic
yeah,
by now.
Yeah, man, yeah. I'm 10 years behind everybody.
And how old are you, may I ask?
I am 42.
I am a generation
younger than Dan over here, man. Yeah. 42, yeah. Still looking good.
Smoked yeah, you
pot,
do.
Drank. Everything. I did everything wrong, Emery.
And look at
and
you.
I'm still looking okay, man. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not one piece of fruit has gone in this body.
Well, have you eaten mushrooms?
Huh? Totally.
Well, those are good for you.
Oh, they sure did expand my mind.
Yeah.
I almost found religion on them, so I got a little
right?
bit scared.
Right? Exactly. Well, Dan, I'd like to talk to you. Now, are you an atheist, Tom, before we go?
Yeah.
Or not?
I am.
Why do you say it like that?
Because it's blurred lines to me when it comes to that sort of stuff. Because this is going to sound really hippy-dippy because I smoke a lot of weed and all that shit. But in this universe, there's just too many possibilities to actually think that you know what's right.
So you're agnostic.
No. I'm saying that I am at the point where I admit I know nothing. And that makes me feel smarter than me actually saying that I know
something.
You're
okay with saying that you don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, to sit there and say that this whole universe is totally random it sounds plausible. But it also sounds plausible to sit there and say that there is a... Not everybody hates that word God and all that freaks everybody out. But there's also something to say that there's a structure to it too. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, there's a structure to you, but yeah. there's also a randomness to you.
Yeah. Right.
So that's where I'm at, man. But I'm not gonna say that somebody writes something down in a fucking book,
right.
And that they fucking know. So,
but there could have been a creator, is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is there could be the randomness of Richard Dawkins. You know what I mean? He would say everything's random and you know there's nothing, but there could also be total structure to everything, but we are too small to even fucking wrap our heads around something like that, to let alone believe in it.
You and I have got a couple more shows to do because that's a whole show.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Dawkins doesn't say that there's a randomness, so I'm going to call you out on that particular
sentence. I read his book, man, and I thought it was just fine. I'll try and remember the pieces as you bring them on.
Cool. Well, order, natural order is something that we know is going on. For example, when you
evolution.
Well, let's look out into the stars. When you look at the stars, when you look at the various galaxies out there,
yeah.
While there are grand variations on each galaxy, between galaxies, there are only a number of galaxy structures that we tend to see out there when we look at the galaxies.
Yeah.
In other words, there is clearly an organizational, we'll say system, there's clearly an organizational system, a natural sieve, that causes the elements to come together in relatively predictable ways.
Okay.
Okay? That's not random. The things that we see when we look out in the sky are mammoth. They're gargantuan numbers.
Beyond anything you could comprehend to me.
I always have trouble with
comprehending.
Because
it yet.
Just when you think it's the end, it's not the end. There's no way that you could sit there and go back to the beginning. There is no fucking way in my mind that you can even sit there and create a Big Bang theory. That's just a theory. It's another possibility.
It's not
but
a theory.
It has to be a theory, man.
Well, what's
the only
definition
thing
of theory?
In the human mind that makes sense.
What's the definition of theory?
But what if
theater?
Something came out of nothing, and then all of a sudden you're exposed to it, and then you go, oh, I can't believe I used to think that, man. And that happens all the time, man.
Science is geared to do that.
Something came out of nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are we saying then, Heather?
Well, first of all, the current scientific community, currently the scientific community is leaning towards something came out of nothing. But that sentence is very misleading.
Is nothing?
You have to listen to...
Exactly. Actually, Heather, exactly. Nothing is something.
You have to listen to Krauss. When you listen to Krauss and have him explain what we mean when we say that, and by we I mean the scientific theory, the idea. It is a theory, I suppose.
Yep.
Definition of theory.
What we really mean...
You always have to put your two bits.
She does.
That's
She's got
job.
Many bits.
I know.
And by the way, at the top of the show, I made a joke about Heather not being... being the producer anymore. Heather works her ass off on this show. I want to make sure that I say that to you.
She's got no ass. She's got no ass whatsoever.
It's gone. I've worked it off.
It's all gone. Who wants to date her?
But,
someone with extra ass.
Everyone wants to date Heather. But getting back to your launching point, I want to say something. To say we don't know, and I do in many cases,
right?
Even when I look very closely at the scientific data and what we think might be going on, there's and this is, in my opinion, exciting and wonderful and grand.
It is exciting.
There are so many things we don't know.
Yeah.
And how this universe sprang into existence, presuming it did, that's just presuming it did. I'm using that language based on that presumption. How that happened, I don't fucking know. But I can tell you this. It doesn't need a creator to either come into existence, and it doesn't require a creator to have the order that we see.
Okay.
It doesn't need it. In fact, Dawkins will tell you this in his book.
I don't believe there's a creator, by the way.
Cool.
What I'm saying is that there might be an... that's wrong.
It's hard to do this.
It is hard to say it.
It's hard to say it because it's not logical, Tom.
Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. There isn't. What I'm saying is there might be a structure to everything.
There is.
I don't believe that there's a big God in the sky or anything like that, if that's what you're saying, or that somebody or something has started all of this.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But within that, there could be a total structure to everything. It's just the fact of the matter is, Emery, without reading all the books and without, this is only personal opinion
is
from hanging around.
Your brain
going to
explode?
Exploded a long time ago.
I know, it's all over.
It doesn't matter because anybody who reads and reads all the books, I'm always at a disadvantage because when I have to talk, it's purely my opinion, man.
I don't read all the books either. I have them read to me by the authors.
Okay. Did you hear that, son? I bet he finished high school.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No, like, I just, when you actually hit the end, I don't, it's going to be a real surprise then, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying that from what I know is when we talk about possibilities are endless. And most people only have one or two possibilities that they can wrap their head around. But when you actually think about it, there's millions of possibilities that you can have. And you're the one that you're thinking of probably isn't the right one. It's like a lottery. Do you know what I mean? You've picked these numbers hoping that that's the right one. But in the end, it's going
like
to be numbers that... it's going to be numbers that you never thought would come up, man. And that's how I like to think about this whole thing.
I'm not so sure.
I know you're not so sure, Heather. I know you're not so sure.
Scientific evidence.
Yeah, but that is such a real fucking evidence, man. Like, I mean, there's evidence in tangible things like that, like in your court case, right?
But it is tangible.
Okay. Agreed. But I'm saying we've only really touched the surface of anything. And all that evidence seems to change with the next thing that you learn. And all of a sudden, the things that you thought were
fact... You sound like a Christian right now.
No. Well.
You do. Your
so
evidence
funny,
changes.
Man.
The Bible is...
What she means, Tom,
same.
Is this is an apologist's argument.
I'm just saying. Okay, so every time I'm not... No way am I religious, okay, for one second. But what I am saying is that, the one thing you know, and all of a sudden you learn something else, and that becomes irrelevant. And then it keeps going on like that. So anytime you think that you know one thing, and there may be some things that are super factual, but those can change at any time. Do we at least agree on that? Yeah?
No, I'm going to...
You're
going to
say
that they are
concrete.
No, wait, I'm not... No. You've black and whited me here, and it's not like that. It's more Mexican.
He's,
let me explain.
And I should
let me explain.
I shouldn't do that.
Can't believe
I got
a joke in there. Here's what I'm going to say. When you say you learn something else and the other thing becomes irrelevant, that's not how it works, actually.
Okay.
That's how people like to paint it, science. They like to paint science that way, but it isn't like that.
Okay.
It's actually more along the lines of the one thing you know, or the things that you know, they... as we get new information, more data, more information that we can put into the entire equation, it adjusts everything. So what's really happening is, you know how when you open up a padlock and you turn it to the right a certain number of times and you turn it to the left, and then one by one, the tumblers fall into place on top of one another until all of a sudden you've got them all in the right location, and then it opens up. It's not a matter of everything you know or something you know becomes irrelevant. It's a matter of what we thought was working one way doesn't work quite that way. It works a little bit differently because now we understand this new piece of information is informing the entire equation. So it's much more beautiful than the wipe it away, you're going to get new information, motherfuckers.
I totally feel like I'm on a TED Talk right now.
Oh, we are.
Absolutely, have changed my mind.
Let's hear it.
I've totally changed my mind, everybody. Emery is right.
Okay, you're doing that again.
Yeah.
No, I actually came in here to just kind of to disregard everything you said, but also to kind of back you up a little, because I know what you mean about the religion. I mean, if you take into account the whole idea that when something new comes, something old has to be deleted, then 2,000-year-old Bible scriptures aren't correct if you take that into account. So, just because you sound like a retard, I didn't want to sit in the corner and have to defend you later.
It's going to be a, it's gonna be a tough ride home.
It's just that he's an alcoholic. No. So,
these are all true things, ladies and gentlemen. You are learning about my home life.
We're here to work some things out for you, Mason.
Yeah, I remember that book you got from this guy over here. So I like the idea that you aren't religious, so no, you don't fit into these categories that people have created with, you know, if you're Christian, then you have your book. If you're Muslim, then you follow these set things. But your idea is more that no one so far has been right, and you guys are right in the theory that you're on the correct kind of pathway, but you're not quite there. Like, you've stopped off at McDonald's and grabbed a Big Mac. We are not quite there. And that's what you're trying to say, that the final destination
hasn't been reached.
Hasn't been reached at all.
That's nicely put. I agree with that, Mason. That's to me, that's a really nice description of the scientific process.
I raised him, by the way.
Yes, you did.
Wow.
So you got half of those.
I got to say, Tom, you came in the right hole. I'll say that right now.
We didn't call him faggot.
All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's totally right, by the way.
Hold on, I've got to do a read here. We have a premium ad-free service. And by the way, I'd like to point out that Tom said I'm totally right. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. If you can afford to give us a little more money, one of the things we do with that money is we give away subscriptions to the needy. Believe it or not, every once in a while I get an email that says, I'm laid up in a hospital and I don't have any fucking money, but I want to listen to the premium show. Well, we give it away when someone can't afford it. Help us do that. Be generous if you can. Support the show if you can afford it. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. If you're feeling down because TAM is over, this should cheer you up.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs.
but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Tom Stade. Believe it or not yet Kara Sultanovich and Dan Gwen. We also have Mason, that's Tom's son, and Matt Kirshen just walked in, who's known Tom Stade since I think probably he was 17.
Since he gave me a ride to one of my gigs.
He's not that was in a towel.
Yeah. And he's not in
the
a towel.
Was that like, it was one of the first off the curb gig I ever did. Yep. It was me, you, and Howard Reed, yep. And it was one of the universities that's somewhere in between Birmingham and Manchester.
That's when you were doing gigs because you had a car.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That's you didn't exactly have to be talented. All you had to do is have wheels.
Yeah,
But I remember you said a really nice thing on the way back because I was down to do 20 minutes. And I remember you saying at the time, I was like, I was waiting for the moment that your set was going to run out and you'd be padding, but you didn't. You had it. So I was like, yeah, I had it. I have my 20.
Now, I love that. I love watching you walk in and go, holy shit, Tom Stade's in our living room.
Yeah.
I've been keeping a low profile, Emery.
Have you been?
Yes, I have.
But that was one of my first, like, out of town, like, that was one of my first paid to do 20 minutes outside of London, mm-hmm. Like, paid a decent amount of money. Not a huge, but, like, more than...
Were you closing? Were you middling? Were you headlining?
Oh, no. I was, it was a college gig, and the format was, like, an MC who does, like, 30 minutes split into two sections.
Yeah.
MC a 20-minute opener.
Yeah.
And Tom was headlining. So, yeah. So Howard was hosting... And so Howard did about probably 20 at the top, then introduced me to do 20, then a break, then Howard did another 10, and then Tom would have done about 40.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
it was good. I've just learned, though, that I think very Christian, even though I'm not religious. I did not know that. I feel awesome
about
that.
You'll have to go back and listen to the top of the show, man.
Yeah. Okay.
He was arguing against science in a almost apologetic way.
I wasn't arguing against science. I was sitting there saying, but now I've kind of changed my mind. I think you're probably right. But it still doesn't mean that when you think this is going to sound...
just spit it out.
Well, it's the thing about the sun revolving around, you know, the earth, and then all of a sudden sure. They realize that we're revolving around that. That piece of information at one time was fact, but now it's not fact.
Right.
But you're right, that at least that started off the... At least that started off the debate, man.
Right.
To sit there and it led to the next thing and led to the next thing and led to the next thing.
The fact that we had something many, many eons ago really, really wrong doesn't mean that things that we have now are as equally wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah,
but it also doesn't mean that the things we have now is right.
No, that's true.
I think the big difference between scientists and the religious... Are you
Dan's
about
going,
to
when are we
going
to get back to gay rights, but man?
But I was going to say the big difference between the science and religion is that a scientist is, at least in theory, always open to be proven wrong and is always looking to be wrong and is looking to refine, if not completely negate, the previous theory. Whereas the religious person, science is trying to fit the evidence, trying to fit their theories in with the evidence, whereas the religious people are trying to fit the evidence in with their beliefs.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to
I feel
to
like
the...
a scientist now because I've changed my mind.
There you go.
You just proved me as a scientist because I actually went, that. I was wrong. New theory, new evidence.
That's a good thing, though. That's a really good...
Well, I want to say this, though, Tom. In applying what you were thinking about how we operate, you're correct about you.
Oh, excellent. I feel so good about myself now. You know what? I'm going to be a better person when I leave the Emery show.
No, you're not. Bring that man a chocolate and give him a hug. Now, listen, let's get back to the gay guy. I think there's more humor in that. First of all, I want to make sure we got really, really kind of frantic there, and I want to make sure that you and I really sort this out. Because when I say that homosexuality can be a choice, in other words, or bisexuality, or sexuality at all can be a choice, I want to be really clear. I mean, how we choose to live our lives can be a choice. We can choose how we express sexually, and we can adjust that over time. I know it's true, it's a fact. One of the things that I think happens is, sometimes in the gay community, this whole idea of sexual orientation is assigned genes through gene expression, before birth even. There's one mistake that's being made, and one of the things that's kind of being conflated, and that is, you're making, I think, sometimes, not you, the gay community sometimes, people in the gay community who take that strong black-white view of sexuality are making a really bad mistake. I think they're fucking up their argument in terms of gay rights, in terms of marriage. I think they're throwing this red herring into the mix that is one of the reasons that we've been waiting so long for marriage to be equal. I think that's a big problem. You disagree?
Yeah.
How come?
Wow, I'm still stuck on getting the military thing. We never got there.
We're going to get there.
How do I think that? I think that there is, in going back to, well, there's a lot more evidence now that there is a strong genetic connection to sexual identity and sexual orientation.
I will agree with that.
And in looking at those, and in my, and this is where I am hesitant to talk, because I'm going to talk just as a Christian would, saying my own personal experience, which sure. is subjective. So I would always point people then to the scientific stuff rather than my personal experience.
Right.
So I think... I think we're at a point where we know there is a strong genetic connection. I don't think that it is one gene that switches on or off. I think that it's more complicated than that. And that's why we're getting these different results on different studies. But as an example, if you are an identical twin and you are gay, you have a 50% chance of your identical twin of being gay also.
It's higher. It's higher.
It's at least 50.
It's 70.
Okay, it's 50. If they're fraternal twins...
Wow, Emery knows everything.
I just read it today.
If it's fraternal twins, it's down to 20%.
Right.
So it shows that there's a strong
link question.
Between genetics. I agree with you. The argument should not be whether it's a choice or not a choice when it comes to politics.
Yes.
I am a U.S. citizen. I hold a job. I pay my taxes. I'm over 21 in any state. I am just as equal under the Constitution as anybody else. And I should be treated that way and be allowed to marry the person I love.
I agree with this.
Period. Mm-hmm. But my concern when I heard you say that it was a choice and going what I went through, you have kids out there who are four times as likely to commit suicide because they're gay or lesbian or bisexual than their straight peers.
Right.
And that is, and seven times more likely if you're transgendered. And that is because of the social pressures. The church told me it's a choice. And I tried to change.
That's what you heard when I said it.
Yeah. That's what I heard, and that's when I
Go
stopped
ahead,
hearing.
I don't think that's
when I stopped
what
hearing.
He's referring to people like you.
I know, but I stopped hearing after that point.
Right.
Yeah. I could not hear past that point.
And I understand.
We talked about that on the phone, and we agreed that we... generally agreed. So my concern was that someone listening who was in my position, in my point, in my state of mind, would hear that and think, God, I might as well kill myself.
Or would take the corollary. I guess your worry is people will take the corollary. Like in Emery's case, you've sort of gone, I have, through sexual experimentation, gone from identifying as exclusively heterosexual to an element of bisexuality. I have chosen to open myself up to other sexualities, blah, 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 and so on. Therefore, some people will take from that. Therefore, if you think you're gay, well, you can choose to be straight again, which is shown by many, many scientific studies to be utter bullshit the vast, vast majority
right,
of cases.
Right, right,
like
right.
The ex-gay movements have never demonstrated
work.
Any of us.
You get no argument from me on that. I agree with you.
Right,
on
and that's where we agreed. Mm-hmm. My concern was that, like me, they wouldn't hear the rest of what you said.
Right.
That by merely saying the words, you believed it was a choice, mm-hmm. and you have this voice of mm-hmm. atheism, that somebody who may be searching, who may be turning away from God and saying it's all buckus.
But
and
you realize that that's not what he means.
I understand
right?
that's okay. exactly
Nor
what he
what I said.
Mean.
Nor what I said. I got it, honey. Not what I said. She was just, Amanda's over there yelling, say it! What she's begging me to say is, I never said that. I said it can be a choice. Not is a choice, but can be a choice. Listen, I'm going to be very clear, and this is why I wanted you on this show.
Right.
I want this clear. I think that there are people who are genetically aimed at homosexuality, and their options simply don't exist for other sexual expressions. I really think they're wired specifically to be that. I think there are people who are wired to be a big old fucking stupid ass dad and nothing more. And then there are people, I'm trying to say this, then there are people who are wired with wildly more options.
Right.
And rainbow of options, if you will.
Right. And yeah. I would say they're bisexual.
That's what I am.
And that's right. What I am. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. But I think that's fixed.
And you
the bisexual is fixed?
Yes.
Well, you know,
you
that's...
Think
that's,
so?
That's
yes.
I don't know that...
At some point in the middle ground, either more gay or more heterosexual, it's somewhere fixed in that...
Well,
that
this is what
rainbow
happened
in
spectrum, but I don't believe that it's necessarily fixed.
This is what happened to me growing up. I, as far as homosexual contact, gay contact or bisexual contact with another man, until I was in my 30s, did not appeal to me. I didn't, up until 17, I was sexually confused about what I should be because I was molested by an uncle. So that kind of muddied the brain water, if
right.
you will. Right.
Totally.
Right. Yeah.
That's never a good sign, Emery. Hey,
I got laid
hey.
Off. And so I was confused. But by the time I was 17 or 18, I really had dispatched that. I realized that I was really confused by that experience that had happened to me, and I zeroed in on what is it that titillates me when I just walk in a mall and I see things. What is it that really makes that tingle come?
And you realize that was Apple products.
It's the Apple products. Matt lives here. He knows
Apple
me.
Store.
So I realized that women, tits, boobs, those things really are the things that I'm wired to like and react to on an instant level, a guttural, basic, instinctual level. And so I spent from that point until I was in my mid-30s, I spent that period of my life thinking I was completely heterosexual. And then when I really started opening up my mind to other possibilities, and I mean broad, in a broad sense, starting thinking about, you know, religion, God, all that stuff, and I was able to dispatch biblical ignorance, which had been heaped on me. When I was able to get rid of all that, I started realizing I have more options. And suddenly, it wasn't a horrific idea to be in bed with a man. It just wasn't. It's still not something... I can look at a man and find him attractive, but it still doesn't titillate me just looking at a man.
Well, right. I think
I can look at Heather and see that she's very attractive.
Yeah.
You actually, know? You're wrong. That's how gay you are. She is hideous.
She's hideous.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Matt.
That was the line of the show.
I think you're pretty, Anna. That was just a joke.
You and me after school.
My concern with that is that if we draw this line that you're either gay or straight, if you're heterosexual and you have bisexual feelings, that can become a very big threat to you, those gay feelings. And that we often find that men that are very homophobic,
yeah, which I used to be,
have
by the way,
a very high response to male erotica.
Oh, there you go.
And so we find that there's this struggle and there's this projection on the gay man. And that's, they're really trying to destroy something in them when they're bashing another gay. Yeah.
Right.
And I did it too when I was in the closet. I did not want to appear gay. I would bash somebody, not physically, but verbally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Emotionally, would, even.
Right,
yeah.
In the same way that the
get
person...
Get him off the scent, man. That's
right,
what
exactly.
You're to do.
And that's what you do.
Yeah. And also the person most afraid of being bullied is the most likely to bully as well.
Correct. Yeah. It's the same. It's just the same phenomenon. So... Phenomena. Phenomena.
Oh, that's bad.
That sounds like a break to me. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Andrew Wilson, Carl Barrett, Paul Clayton, Grant Carpenter, Newbie, Goobs, Ned Flanders.
Ned Flanders.
Dr. Nick, Cameron Winters, and Joseph Swam.
You know who else was in the... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, finish that, and then I'm going to tell
you. These are some of the people that were chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks, everybody. We loved seeing all your delicious content.
I also want to add that last week we had just a swarm of people at TAM in our room for a whole bunch of tapings. We did 6 different tapings. I think 2 ardent atheists, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And 4 skeptically yours.
Way to get a load of these.
It was fantastic. And we'll be rolling those out over the next few weeks.
We got James Randi, guys.
And James Randi with Ray Hyman.
Yeah.
I can't say his name without laughing. Anyway, and now back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Tom Stade. I don't think we're going to get Kara tonight. She was supposed to be here at 8. Dan Glenn is with us. Matt Kirshen is here.
I'm really happy Matt Kirshen's here. That was the biggest surprise.
What a nice surprise.
Right? I was surprised to see the Stade. So that came as a bit of a shock.
The Stade. And our listeners may not know, man. Stade is He's a mainstay in London. He is a really, really top comic.
Because I couldn't make it in a big pond, so I went to the little one.
Well, you're back. You're over the pond and in this shitty pond.
Yeah, I'm loving this talk. But I'm loving this, Emery. I'm loving. These are the issues of America, man. I don't think we have those same issues in the UK. Would you say? Yeah. Like, it's not a big. I mean, when you come over here, I mean, you got the gay rights, you got racism, you got all that crap. But in the UK, it doesn't seem like it's all pushed to the forefront.
It's nowhere near as oppressive. I mean, obviously, it's there. You know, clearly, there's a ton of
Glasgow
racism and homophobia in the UK.
Yeah, you got niggers too.
But there's not the.
Not the debate
Emery,
that it is.
Emery.
What?
It's not the debate. Gay marriage was. I mean, still, gay marriage has only just been passed by British Parliament. There's been civil unions for the past. I can't remember how many years, but for a while, but.
And
equal,
you have the
like full-on
right?
equal marriage has only. We have the equal right. We have the religious right.
The religious
right's
raising its head as we speak.
We definitely have the religious right in the UK, but not to the same extent
as here.
And I tell you what, we definitely don't have, and that's, when the debate was happening in Parliament, there absolutely were people saying ludicrous things. One politician, I have a bit about him now, but one politician in the middle of the debate said Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Steve.
Like, you said that out loud.
That's a ridiculous
which is
fucking
absurd.
Right. That's like an amateur night joke.
That's
and
like,
he's actually using it as an argument.
That's like, I think that, my point I make is that's like if they were debating whether women should have equal pay in the workplace and he just stood up and gone, girls smell, and sat down again. Like, that's the level of sophistication
but
that we're dealing.
You know, so.
We're much worse here. And I'd like to illustrate that with this video that we're going to watch right now.
Okay. Homosexual behavior is harmful not only to society, but more importantly to the individuals who engage in that behavior.
You don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military.
People who are trapped in the homosexual lifestyle, they're in constant rebellion with order, with their natural order, with natural law.
If there's one characteristic trait of the gay agenda in the public school system, it's this. It's sneaky. Oh. It's usually designed to look like something else. It's disguised as something else.
The reason that HIV was invented as the cause of AIDS is it was a way to get research
money. They remind
me
of you, Dan, when you were 17.
Barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. And just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road.
We went from Lawrence versus Texas to now a constitutional right to same-sex marriage, and they're going into a constitutional right to polyamorous relationships. This is the slippery slope.
I have a book called The Marketing of Evil by David Kapelian, and it tells how expert genius Harvard marketers actually came up with the word gay rights so that the American public would accept it as natural behavior.
If you're involved in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's bondage. It is personal bondage. Personal
only
despair.
Only good.
Not always.
Not always.
And that's why this is so dangerous.
All gays who are born
Here's
gay are overwhelmingly conservative, maybe apolitical. And all those angry gays causing trouble for everybody, I don't even think they were born gay. I think they're angry at their fathers.
I didn't know.
Wow.
There you go. No, you know who they're angry at? They're molesting uncles.
But here's what I will say. Like, you know, there were ludicrous things expressed in that debate.
Yeah.
Britain has, there's huge amounts of homophobia and there's huge amounts of nonsense. But the level of debate and the level of public feeling has grown to the point that the mainstream politicians cannot actively say things that are against homosexuality. They can still, they can't say, I think homosexuality is wrong. They can't say that. They still couch it in ludicrous terms, like, what about the children, or what about the society, yeah, or tradition, you know, all the bullshit things that they have to say, so they can't, because they can't actually out loud go, ah, icky. which is what they mean, but
I really gotta stop doing that.
I know.
Icky. That's disgusting.
But American mainstream politicians on the right, at least, are still able to say, "I think homosexuality is wrong. It is prohibited in the Bible." British politicians can't say that, and part of that is they can't express religious opinions in public.
Which
Tony
is
Blair,
awesome.
Yeah,
Tony Blair hid how Catholic he was until after he got out of office.
Right,
like. If a British politician puts their faith at the forefront, they will not get elected.
Which is opposite of this country.
Absolutely.
Totally opposite.
Whereas I think
you have a state religion, and we have a separation of church and
yeah,
state.
Yeah, you have legally.
We've created the problem by having this faux
you think it's
separation.
Been pushed under. You think it's the equivalent of like prohibiting drugs and
that?
Yeah,
people,
that
is absolutely.
Absolutely.
Really
I think that's exactly
Emery.
The problem.
I've never actually thought about that, but you're right, because you have to say you believe in God to be the president of the United States.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's
right?
Correct.
And
at
to
least
sit
today
there and then to claim that you've separated church and state, it would then be a total lie.
Right.
Oh my God! That's
no,
a
it's
realization
awful. It's,
to
it's
me,
abso-
actually.
It's absolutely
I've never
nutty.
Thought about that.
Why would we put in God we trust on the money of a country who guarantees the separation of church and state? Yeah. Why would we add in
so
the '50s the word God to our Pledge of Allegiance? In the fucking '50s, we did this.
Actually,
all of this because of the Red Scare.
England's actually a lot better at
Indians?
That than America.
Yes,
is.
You are. Absolutely.
Really,
what'd you say?
Is it Indians?
Revelation
what's the
to me, man. That's
yeah, no,
incredible.
You guys.
Britain's is relatively apathetic towards religion to a large extent.
Right. Right.
Well, we do have the BNP, Mason says.
What,
yeah.
what are we talking
the BNP
about?
Oh, yeah,
too.
Absolutely. And they're undeniably big.
Yeah.
And there are. And
the BNP would not like you, Dan.
The BNP, or
they
me for that matter.
Like
what does BNP stand for?
BNP is the British National Party, which
and
is
I'm
like the
a
fascist
foreigner.
Party.
They hate my guts, too.
Okay.
But then even there's.
But I'm a white foreigner.
You're a white
so
foreigner, so
okay.
You're fine. You're fine. You're not Polish.
So you're passing, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a. They like my accent.
But and there's even more mainstream parties like the UKIP. The
UKIP, yeah.
United
that
Kingdom
was run thing. By a talk show host at one time.
For a point, yeah.
That really made me laugh.
Well, we had Ronald Reagan. He was just a fucking actor.
Yeah.
So we're all
well,
even.
And Schwarzenegger, although yeah. He didn't make it to president.
What'd you say?
What did you call Emery?
He goes by Schwarzer African American.
Right.
Dan, I want to talk now about your days in the military and about your religious, because you've escaped religion, obviously, I hope.
Thank God.
But we're going to do that in the premium version of the show. So if you want to hear about Dan's struggles, buy the program. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers. Really, as soon as we can. We're very behind, and I'm sorry. I'm going to thank our guest, Tom Stayed. Mason Stayed. Kira apologizes for not being able to get here. Traffic screwed her. She will be rebooked on another show. Dan Glenn. We had Amanda McAlpin take the seat for a moment. And we have Matt Kirshen now sitting here. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Other people.
And we'll be talking about...
Other people.
Oh, we're going to talk about... All right. This has been the free version of episode 124. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph. He's even more awesome in person, Swam.
Yes, he is.
And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron. He's even more gay in person, Winter.
Yeah, he's calling him gay. That's because he's negative.
He is.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. What would you like to plug? Anything at all? Website?
I'm awesome. That's all I want to plug.
What do you want to plug?
Tommy's awesome.
And I'm changing right. My way of thinking. Thanks to you, Emery. That's
where,
what I'm plugging.
Where's your Twitter?
I can change.
Danny boy.
That's it. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.